B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
You know I went a year without touching myself?
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Ammonia is not contagious.
What is not contagious?
Ammonia.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, where you at?
515-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. Reporting live from Foxborough.
Oh, no, it's Rochi. All preseason sun. He is the worst, I said. He makes people want to blow out their brains. When he's calling the Patriot games, Rochi makes people want to blow out their brains. When he's calling the Patriots, from the start to the end of it. Dan Roach is screwing Patriot. Name's up on my TV set. Now I'm getting real upset. How does he not know him yet? Fourier is sick of it. He's never even close, like his wife, no matter what she says. After this, he'll be asking Paul and Andy for some broadcast tips. Stare blankly and lick your lips. Say nothing of interest. Correcting how he says it. Garoppolo or Garoppolo, cause you know everybody know all the thing that you don't know. Don't believe. Check a Twitter poll. Yeah, Roachie sucks. See that? Roachie is the worst. Please believe that. New Englanders agree that we had enough of this crap. He is a bum whose time has come to choose a new career path. 1, 2, 3. Get Rochi off my TV.
No.
He makes people want to blow out their brains when he's calling the Pats games. Why,
Jimmy with the fake.
I said 1, 2, 3. Whatever happened to Don Cricky? I wish the Crafts would just make it stop. Hold your nose for the ratings drop. Why, oh.
I hate it.
Ignore your critics.
Ignore your critics.
They'll be there. They'll tell you you can't do it.
Well, you can't do it. You suck.
It's not that funny.
Hey, good morning, everybody. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. You just heard Adam Jones. He is here today. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studio, 617-779-0985. We will get to the particulars of the Bruins game coming up. But I'm very tired yesterday because of all the Momo stuff that I've explained before that my son is... Now I don't even think he's scared of Momo. Now I just think it's he's milking it.
So, oh, it's just an excuse.
I think that he's enjoying...
The attention.
The attention.
Yeah.
And so I think that I'm not positive he's into it anymore. So anyway, I'm very tired. And so I'm watching the Bruins game and it gets tied up. And I said, all right, well, I don't feel like staying up for overtime. We'll figure it out. So I go to bed and I'm going to turn on the clock radio. I still have the same clock radio that I had like in middle school.
So that's what you use for an alarm, not a phone.
I use a phone as a backup now.
I'm the same as you. I've had the same like Panasonic stupid clock radio with like a cassette thing for 30 years.
The problem with that is though that you can turn them off so easily. Like the
just give it a bear paw and that thing's done.
That's true.
Or my wife will like come over and just turn the volume down.
Yeah,
and just let me sit there. So.
He's got a backup. He'll be fine.
Right. Yeah. So I go and turn on the radio to make sure that it's on in the volume. And Surratt talking, and there's like, you know, how many seconds left? And he goes, you know, this is left in regulation. And so I go, all right, fine. So I just go, well, it's going to go to overtime. And so I go to sleep, and I miss the whole drama of the last 30 seconds or so.
You know how hard that is to do? I mean, the goals were 30 seconds apart.
Yes.
And you happened to turn your radio off in those 30 seconds.
No, there's a long delay. In fairness to Fred, there was a long delay after the game tying goal, right? Because they were like talking about it on the TV broadcast where like maybe there was a chance it was going to get reviewed, but they had taken too long. So there was a bit of a delay.
No, but he was saying there was 10 or 15 seconds left in the game. There was gameplay going on.
Well, that's true. You're tuning in
really
between
impressive.
The two. That's true.
I turned it off absolutely the wrong, like seconds before something happened.
Oh,
so
God.
I have this dumb CPAP mask that I'm supposed to wear. But I used cold water. And whatever. I still got crap in my lungs from that stupid pneumonia. So the thing, the CPAP mask is irritating me. Like it's irritating me. I'm like coughing and like I had to go in the bathroom and spit this crap up. And I go, I can't wear this, Stephanie. Like I can't wear this tonight. And she's like, okay. I mean, you really should wear it. I'm like, you hear me hacking? What the hell's wrong with you? So so I go and I'm asleep, and she wakes me up and says, you're snoring. Now, isn't the thing that you're supposed to do is just like tap someone or like try to move them?
Yeah.
And so I go, you're snoring. You're snoring. And I go, how loud could I possibly be snoring? Her definition of snoring is completely off the rails.
Like heavy breathing.
No, yeah. It could be like I'm shaking the house or like I'm breathing heavily. So she'd say, you're snoring. And then once you get woken up, it's impossible to go back to sleep. And so, and then she's like, go upstairs. And I had just explained all day yesterday how I went upstairs and that it's so damn hot and dry that it screwed me all up. And I go, it screws me up to go. I go, just give me one night. Can I? It's not fair. It's not fair. I said, I'm asleep. There's nothing I can do about it. I'll lose 50 pounds, okay? And then I'll weigh 160, and then you can have fun. I'll emaciate myself so I never snore again.
For your benefit.
For your benefit.
That's love, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's enough with this crap. It's enough with the sleeping. Why do people have to sleep in the same bed? It doesn't make any sense.
You don't
have to. My parents didn't. They do now, but they didn't when I was growing up.
Like two beds or two rooms?
Oh, no, it wasn't like a Leave it to Beaver.
Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Brady Bunch were in bed together.
No, Mary Tyler Moore, they slept in separate single beds next to each other.
And so did Wilma and Fred.
Oh, yeah?
Is that right?
Yeah, Fred Flintstone and Wilma, yeah, they slept in separate beds.
Yeah.
There was a lamp between them.
They're tired from all the running around in the cars.
Yeah.
Need a deep sleep.
I'm not positive Wilma drove. I'll say that. But, it's just, I don't know why we have to sleep in the same bed. I don't know why you can't sleep in separate rooms. If I'm so annoying and I'm so terrible in the bed, I mean, it's not like, I mean, what's the point? It's not like we're having, like, sex. It's just you go to bed. Like, why do I have to be next to you in a bed?
It's true.
I wonder when that started, that you have to sleep next to someone in the same room.
Probably cave people, caves.
That was probably out of necessity, yeah. Though, because you had one fire and like one bear skin.
Yep, body heat.
And now we have two bear skins in my house. So, yeah. I mean, you know, you can luxuriate on the floor.
I'm guessing that's where it started, though, cave people.
Okay, so as the humans evolved, I would imagine at that point, it's no longer necessary. It's something that was necessary at the time.
It's like social pressure, though. You know, my parents did this.
Well, my parents didn't. My dad just jammed C-SPAN like as loud as it would go and smoked. That's how he went to sleep, is he would just jam C-SPAN.
So I feel like what you need to, can you get the, there's no way you can get the heat and dryness situation sorted out on the third floor? Because now you got like your own sleeping area. Now you got your own crash pad up there.
Yeah. Once summer comes, when spring breaks in about a month and a half.
Nice up there.
Then you're talking, it's okay. Then you're talking about it being all right. But at this point, I missed the drama of the end of the Bruins game. Then I'm only to be woken up, so I might as well have just stayed up and watched the game, only to be woken up. And then I'm going to get so much crap today. I guarantee you I get a ton of crap today. Unbelievable crap today.
Because you missed the ending.
No, because she's going to say, I'm tired. I had to go to work and I'm tired.
At home.
Oh, at home, yeah.
Yeah, that's the worst kind of crap.
I'm tired. You're going to have to figure out the stupid machine. You're going to have to figure it out, Fred. Okay. I'll figure it out. You're snoring. Stop it.
How far after you're asleep does that happen? Is it like an hour?
Well, she can't sleep, like, regardless of what's going on.
Got it.
And so if she was sleeping like a normal person, It was, she would sleep right through it. But instead, she can't sleep. She just can't sleep. So instead of just owning it and going upstairs, I mean, she goes downstairs at like 2 in the morning and reads. Okay. My snoring has nothing to do with anything. It was bad on vacation because I was drinking. So if you drink, like, then it's like really bad.
Yeah, that'll kick it up a few notches. Yeah.
Why?
It's a whole new box, Pandora's box, that opens when you drink.
Oh, when
in
you
addition
drink
to the.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
You start
that's
snoring.
All, that's something entirely different. That's snoring that won't quit.
Yes.
But I will say this, and my wife at times has trouble sleeping as well, and I have been known to snore. In addition, I don't know if it's worse than you, better than you, whatever the case may be. My wife chooses to change things by punching me in the ribs,
yeah,
and waking me up.
Yeah, that's not it's not
so
good.
I don't know which is worse, getting yelled at or getting punched in the ribs. Which is worse?
I'd rather get punched, as long as I don't have to hear that voice.
Jones, you're the tie-breaking you're the tie-breaking vote, Jones.
I'd rather get yelled at. Yeah,
yeah, but getting punched in the ribs is no fun, boys. Let me tell you,
well,
not good.
If you're dead asleep, she's lucky that you don't have some like kind of guttural reaction to it.
That's a good point.
Like you get hit and you're just like, yeah, start lashing out.
You're Rambo or somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we'll get into the whole Bruin situation. We'll talk about the Antonio Brown situation. There was some exceptionally funny Red Sox audio yesterday that everyone was delighted by.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich. I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. The Boston Bruins, despite everything Jones says, is they're on to something special. Such was the case yesterday. If you were unlike me and didn't turn off the radio seconds before Bergeron won the game, it goes a little something like this. There's a situation happening where the score is 2-2. And then here comes Hoobie Doobie from Florida. Yeah, sure.
You're that guy.
Yeah, then we're like, okay. Here comes Hoobie Dubo, and he gives him a goal lead.
Pitches it over to the near side, Dadnoff. He'll rip it out to center ice, right on the tape of Huberto. Going wide, hits the break, shoots and scores. Turned, did a 180 and swept it by Rask. 3-2 Panthers.
All right, so I'm doing the math here. So I'm guessing that, I'm settling on there's 47 seconds left in the game when Grizzly ties it.
36.5.
Okay, 36.5. I just did the math wrong. So here's Grizzly. I actually saw this. This is Grizzly on the power play, tying it up.
Marchand right hash. Up top, Grizzly. Right circle, McAvoy. Centers. Grizzly, far circle. Marchand, Grizzly shoots. He scores!
All right, so then I go, all right, this is going to overtime. I'm exhausted. I'll figure it out tomorrow. I can easily watch the overtime highlights.
Right.
You know,
how many highlights are there in overtime?
Right, exactly.
Game winner, boom.
The game winner, yeah, basically, yeah. Unless there's some really like dumb penalty or something. So I'm like, I have to go to sleep. I turn on the radio to make sure that everything's moving. And Surratt's like, you know, there's how many seconds left in the game? And I say, fantastic. And I go, it's going to go to overtime. And I turn off the radio. And then this happened.
Center circle, Achari barrels in, cuts down the slot, looking for a puck. It squirts to the far side with 9. Far circle, Bergeron. He scores! Can you believe that? With 6.7 seconds remaining, Patrice Bergeron.
All right, so there you go. Raptors wins it in regulation. When I saw that this morning, I said, how the hell did they win in regulation? When you guys told me.
Yeah.
No, I think I saw it on the computer. I go, how the hell did they win in regulation? Because I looked at the score, and I'm like, why is it not saying overtime? So Adam Jones is kind enough to send us emails about his ideas for the show. And he said, should it really take 59 minutes and 30 seconds to beat the Panthers? And then he says, in all seriousness...
I guess technically it took a little longer, even worse.
Okay, right.
59 minutes and, you know, 53
yeah.
seconds.
Yeah, really, yeah. 59:30 to tie it, in retrospect. Poor email. Right. Poor email by me.
Come on. Get with it, Jones. He says, in all seriousness, nice little win. Pity point streak is up to 18. Woo! How'd that work for Columbus last year? So Jones has taken the 18-game point streak...
Yeah.
And turned it into something to be mocked and almost something dangerous due to the what happened to Columbus last year.
Yeah. Well, I just did the legwork. I wanted to make sure I had all my facts straight. I did some hardcore research this morning before coming in. And Columbus, with their 18-game point streak last year, lasted six games in the first round. So that is what that meant for Columbus last year.
Okay. But you don't think that the way in the...
They did start 2-0 against Washington, but they then lost 4-0.
By the way, this is all without last night DeBrusk and Pastrnak. And as you point out, they're winning a lot without Pastrnak.
And yes. Johansson. They lost two of their top six forwards. Right. Krejci all of a sudden skating with two guys he doesn't recognize.
Right. So you make nothing of this because to me,
no.
The way that they're winning,
they're playing well. They're for sure playing well. I would stop at the larger takeaway. I guess is right. Like, there's no doubt they're playing well. I don't change much of my opinion of them matching up against really Toronto or Tampa. I mean, certainly Tampa and really Toronto. Like, I still think they have a really difficult road in the postseason. And
there's no question, but you don't think that they're the heavy favorites. Not heavy, maybe, but that they're favorites against Toronto.
I'd give them a slight favorite against Toronto, yeah.
If they lose to Toronto, that's a massive
considering how they're playing right now, I would agree. And Jones, they have the second best record in the National Hockey League. And
sure.
I understand there's a sizable gap between them and Tampa. Tampa is head and shoulders far and away better than anyone else. They're historically good. But if anybody's going to take them down, you'd have to figure it's this team, based on record alone.
Yeah, I mean, again, like we talked about this earlier in the week. The Bruins have done this. This is the third year in a row the Bruins have done this. Like, I feel like we're in this cycle of discussing the Bruins where it's like February, March, they're red hot. Maybe it's a little earlier 2 years ago, January, February. But they're red hot, and then they kind of fall on their face a little bit down the stretch. And then it doesn't mean anything in the postseason.
So
like, they were eliminated in the first round against Ottawa.
Too soon.
Well, they're peaking too soon, is what you're saying. It's been a discussion in the past. I think it's a fair discussion to have with them again.
Well, that also counters the argument against Tampa, though, because it shows that regardless of your point total in the regular season, the way the NHL playoffs go, I mean, it's bounces. I mean, eight seeds.
Yeah, agreed. Doesn't that work against the Bruins? That's part of the reason why I don't think you can make the Bruins a heavy favorite against Toronto. Just like bounces could work against Tampa, they could work against the Bruins first round with Toronto.
Right, but it's more of the point that, I mean, Toronto and Bruins are not far apart in terms of points.
No.
I mean, you know, this is a battle for home ice. And, but the thing about the bounces and everything more reflects what's happening in Tampa Bay. I mean, Tampa Bay can be historically good in the regular season, and then, you know, a hot team comes in with a hot goaltender, even though
Rask wasn't great last night. We've seen that plenty of times. President's Trophy winners don't win every year. They don't win the Stanley Cup every year.
No, they often don't win. True.
All right. So,
but Tampa doesn't need to win the whole thing to beat the Bruins. They just have to win in the second round.
Sure. Obviously, Tampa's a heavy favorite against the Bruins. But the way that they're playing, it's at least interesting. All right. So, DeBrusk isn't out there yesterday. He's got a walking boot on. Here is Cassidy talking about it.
Lower body. He tried to skate yesterday. Kind of had a tough time. This morning, we didn't go on the ice. I think only a couple guys went on. So, we were going to see today, as he got to the rink, how he was, and it hadn't progressed very well, so we weren't going to push it. I've said this before this year, I don't believe it's anything major, and I don't, and that's our initial reports from the doctors. This isn't me just making crap up, but, you know, it may be a couple days. He might be ready Saturday, might be a week, but I don't believe it's anything, you know, noteworthy that's going to keep him out for an extended period of time.
By the way, shouts out to Cassidy for actually giving information on an injury in the National Hockey League.
Bruce Cassidy forever, man. That guy's great.
Yeah, so anyway, so apparently DeBrus blocked a shot and it fractured a bone in his foot, and who knows what that means. All right, Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. Adam Jones is a basketball guy, number one. He knows nothing about hockey.
Nothing.
And his negativity is so phony and disingenuous because we all know he does it just to piss people off and get ratings. You know, nothing what you're talking about. Get the heck off the air. Nobody needs you.
What was wrong about what I said about the Bruins the last couple of years? Or Columbus?
Now, let me finish. Okay, Columbus. That's last year, the team that's never even won anything. This is the Boston Bruins.
And yeah, the Bruins did this last year, too.
You want stats about the NHL?
And the year before that.
The number one team in the regular season almost never wins in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Look that up. The number one team in the regular season almost never wins.
Yeah, if you were listening, we just talked about that. Tampa doesn't need to win the whole thing to beat Boston. They just have to win in the second round.
The Bruins will go deep. Mark my words. I'll call back and we'll see.
I will.
Back at nighttime when you belong, loser.
I mean, that last part's fair. I would look forward to hearing from him when the Bruins make their deep run.
This is something to be enjoyed. I mean, now the Bruins are much watch, unless you're me and you fall asleep before the end of the game. But the Bruins are must watch right now. And as much as you poo-poo the point streak, I mean, it's interesting.
This is the first time they've done this in 50 years.
It's definitely interesting. It's the only time the Bruins have been a big talker all year. So it's definitely interesting.
Yes.
I don't quibble with that at all.
Yeah.
And again, they're playing phenomenal hockey. What does that mean in March? Like they've done this the last 2 years. Columbus went on a big run last year. It didn't matter.
Right. But there's Tortorella's also the coach. So
true.
You got to take that in
Cassidy
stride.
Was the coach for the Bruins the last 2 years.
Correct. But it looks like they're going to be healthy going into the playoffs unless something else happens that we don't see right now. And if they're healthy in the playoffs and, you know, Rask, I give him last night, was not fantastic, but Rask has been very good.
He made some really big saves in the third period.
He did.
Really big.
He did. I'm not denying that. But here is Rask talking about giving up the third goal.
It's a kind of a bad feeling as a goalie. You know, you're trying to keep your team in it and then you kind of make a mistake and give them the lead. You know, just try to keep the focus and hoping that somebody's going to get the tying goal. And then, you know, pretty pumped that Berger got the winning goal there. So it was awesome.
Yeah. So there you go. The Bruins have become much watched television. And don't go to sleep. So this is twice. They're not comparable. But I was also the one who left the bar when they were down against Toronto in that game 7. And then walked home from the bar and then came in and thank God my wife had been watching it and I turned it on. And I said, why are they talking about going, why are they not, you know, crying? And then I saw, oh, well, this apparently is historical. And I just missed it. Great, friend. So the rule is if you've invested yourself in the game, by all means, don't stop watching.
Actually, Dan O'Brien had a good point. There are 3 trains that leave from North Station. What is it, 9:40, 9:45, and 9:50, Dan?
Yeah, they tend to leave right around there. So at a 7 o'clock start for the Bruins, you can basically stay till the end of the game and then make that train instead of waiting for the 10:45 or 10:40 train.
Yeah, so
so you had to make that decision last night of whether or not you're going to leave with 2 minutes left and run down the stairs to get to the platform.
Right, and with history on the line and an 18-game point streak...
Hopefully people stayed.
All right, very good. Dismiss it all, my friend.
Where were you when?
Yep, that's right. Good job. It's fun to watch. They're having fun. This team's got chemistry. McAvoy feels like a family. They're out there. There's good chemistry on this team. And by the way, apparently Cassidy, just like Tory Krug, you're a forward. I mean, he's just like Tory Krug, you're a forward.
Do whatever you want.
He's cut everybody loose. I mean, you see defensemen below the goal routinely. It's free flowing. It's great to watch.
No, but especially Krug.
Yes.
I think he said, Krug, don't worry so much about your defensive responsibilities. All right. We'll have the headlines when we come back. Some hysterical Red Sox audio. And also we'll talk about the Antonio Brown situation because it's a sore soft between guys with smartphones. And so we'll have that for you. Here are the headlines.
Gordon Hayward.
In the air and good. And that's what everybody here was waiting to see.
Plays here.
Brings the Hayward. Corner 3 is good.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Break up the 5 villain.
it up like Kane in his prime. Up with us, you insane in the mind. You cowards way out of line.
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, and it was a battle of the sources, and it all happened overnight. So a lot of people will not know about this, I would imagine, if you were up this early. But Ian Rappaport had a report. How about that? Had a report that Antonio Brown was going to be traded to the Buffalo Bills, which was exceptionally exciting for many reasons. Is A, be careful what you wish for. Because now, Antonio Brown, you have 3 years left on your deal. This is the this is your last big deal. I mean, you're going to be 34 going into the season that this deal is up. So he would have to sit in Buffalo and play with Josh Allen, who has shown no ability to throw. I mean, he's a running quarterback right now, and it would have been fantastic. Also, it shows that the Steelers have very high opinions on what's going on in Buffalo, because you know,
keeping him in the AFC, let's send him to Buffalo.
Yeah, because like Josh Allen's third year, you know, things should start coming together for him, and they should. And you would think that they would have time to build around him, and that they would be a contender. But the Steelers would just be like, "No, you're not. This is never going to work out." And Antonio Brown would have to sit there and just rot in Buffalo and give up everything he has with the Steelers. But now, on the other side, you got little Shefty Chef coming out and saying that not so fast. This is not happening. And so far, there has been no movement. So it is who has the best sources. That's what it is at this time. And here is Ian Rappaport.
Here's what I am told. The Buffalo Bills and the Pittsburgh Steelers are closing in on a deal to send star receiver Antonio Brown to Buffalo in exchange for compensation that we do not yet know yet. But all this is going to be finalized, probably going to be finalized through the night. Does seem like the Antonio Brown sweepstakes are finally over. It has been a marathon. The one team that existed only barely under the radar was the Buffalo Bills. Only kind of came out today a little undercover that the Bills might be in the mix. It just never got public until we found out just a couple minutes ago that is, in fact, where Antonio Brown is likely headed. Deals are expected to be made official by the start of the league year on Wednesday.
By Rappaport has really got the common man in mind. Like, this really has been exhausting.
Yeah.
This whole Antonio Brown thing has just been a marathon. I mean, I'm just sitting there rubbing my hands together. It's like, dude, you cover the NFL. No one else does.
I like how he said it was so undercover that Buffalo was the team in on Antonio Brown. It might not even happen. That's how undercover that was.
That's right.
Schefter's tweet, last tweet, a source on a potential Antonio Brown to Buffalo trade. It will not happen. Quote, I don't think the Bills trade was ever close to happening. This is an old story.
Ooh.
It was dead on Wednesday. That's about as opposite as it can be from Adam Schefter to Ian Rappaport.
Well, that is Schefter just, I mean.
I'm told it was dead on Wednesday.
Even in your face, rap sheet.
Yeah, I mean, that is just like they meet up at St. Elmo's Fire in Indianapolis. Or St. Elmo's, whatever the hell the name of it is.
But St. Elmo's, yeah.
St. Elmo's. They run into each other at that steakhouse. It's like the end of Anchorman. Just they're going to get out the steak knives and have at it.
Jam a fork up their sleeve just in case they pass each other.
Exactly. Yeah. It's been an exhaustive marathon. It's like, finally, we can take a breath.
I think you got to defer to Schefter, right? Because he's got the two phones. I only think Rappaport has the one phone.
In fairness, there's never a full body shot of Rappaport. Like, they'll get to Schefter, who, if you meet Schefter, he's disarmingly small.
Yeah.
But they'll get him on a stool, and you can see that he can't. It's so funny. Like, these guys can't, like, the idea is that they can't even be on camera for 2 minutes without looking at the phone.
Yeah.
Because things are just constantly coming in.
Oh, they get so much news. These video hits are a nuisance. I'm trying to break news over here. I got to talk about this on TV now, please. I'm a newsman.
I mean, I've been sifting through this marathon of Antonio Brown stuff.
Yeah, it's been like a week.
Yeah. Well, even if it hasn't, I mean, it's not affecting anyone. Your definition, Mr. Rappaport, of what is considered something of a concern in a marathon is off base. So anyway, yesterday the Red Sox played and Pedroia played, and he was 1-for-1, and he had a good time. And as Jones said, this was on national television, to which I would counter, I have no idea where it was on.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure where to catch it, but, you know, a little extra media in town for Petey's big return there.
Okay, so they had Mookie Betts mic'd up, correct?
Yeah, it was Betts, and then I think Brock Holt at some point in the game.
Yeah, they had Holt. I saw this. It was Holt and Betts and
Bradley.
Bradley had it too for a while. No, I know Holt and Betts did.
I think Betts was and Betts. I think Betts was just mic'd up, but they were all so close and huddled around him that his mic was picking everything up.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
Yeah,
and so this is Holt, Betts, and Bradley Jr. So they're all sitting around and they're doing golf swings. I mean, these guys are. I mean, they're having fun.
Maybe if you're out there driving around, maybe pull over because you're going to laugh.
Yeah, you're going to laugh pretty hard. If you have a knee pad in your car, just put your knee pad on because you're going to be slapping it. So they know obviously that Mookie Betts is mic'd up, so they're going to go. Let's give the people what they want.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they just don't want to hear us breathing heavy. I mean, they want to hear us knocking it out of the park, humor style.
Joshing around a little bit.
Yeah, guy humor, you know?
Being dudes.
Just a couple, you know, hey, we're close. What do you want? We're all in the same squad. So here are those three gentlemen in the outfield. That is a Brady Bunch right there.
Oh, my God.
That is a Brady Bunch. I know it just by... Do-do-do-do-do. By the way, if you watch the show, I am so all over the place this week. If you watch the show Crashing with, it's on HBO, Eve Plum in the last episode. And I did not know that. And who is Eve Plum?
She was
Jan Brady.
Yeah, I was going to say the middle
Jan girl. Brady. Yeah, all right, Brady. So here we go.
No, we're not commercial.
Oh, we're staying live.
Yeah, they can hear you. Hey, aren't you talking later on?
Yeah, 4th inning.
Don't go anywhere, fans.
Hopefully, I'm out of the game by then.
Huh? I would be able to get my first bat.
Me too, if you want me. Brock.
Yeah.
They said, can I see your golf swing?
Golf swing?
Yeah.
I mean, you want lefty or righty? I got bat.
Well, that means that if you ask lefty or righty, that means you're not very good at golf.
Now, is that chuckling from the booth?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
They loved this.
Yeah. Yeah. They're laughing out loud.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yep.
Is that Ravitch? Ravitch. Carl Ravitch calling a game? This silly goose.
Well, first of all, I don't know how they're hearing anything. And second of all, I know that Brock Holt is showing his swing. But, I mean, the idea that this is making someone laugh out loud.
Yeah.
Like, this. Maybe I'm just not someone who... is demonstrative enough. It takes a little bit more than this.
Well, you need a sense. I think you need a sense of humor to understand this level of comedy. I think is what it is.
That's exactly what you're saying. Like I'm like Dr. Spock. I'm like a little too on point.
I think it's a little over your head. Yeah, this is good stuff.
It's very highbrow.
Yeah, exactly. Comedy.
I mean, these guys, all they want to do is hit the links. So Bradley's being told to do all this stuff, by the way, in his ear.
Betts, yeah.
Or Betts, I'm sorry. Yeah. Betts is being told what to do in his ear.
Yeah.
All right. Jack?
It's not bad, huh?
They said...
Jackie plays.
They said... No, they said tennis.
Tennis?
Tennis.
I don't
play tennis. You're serving tennis. But you didn't make the noise, though.
Grunt.
Here you go.
Give me a Mookie after this. Let me see Mookie bowling, too.
It's like one of those shows where you got the guy and you're a puppeteer. And
yes.
You're doing what you said. And then so they have everything and they're just like, Mookie Betts is good at bowling. Let's see. How he bowls. They want to see, have him do a tennis swing.
No, bowling next.
Yeah.
Is that a tiki idol in the bullpen?
He said, say, how would you throw a Molotov cocktail?
have him do a mime pulling a string. Yeah, do that.
Yeah, now you're trapped behind a wall, an invisible wall.
Yep, do that. If you could, Brock.
They said, Brock, they said...
Ain't no way they're returning that one.
They said they want to see, can you do me bowling?
Can I do you bowling?
I see a little sparkly thing that's going so hard.
Yeah, the finish.
The finish of bowling. You've never seen me bowl?
Pretty smooth, though.
Bro, you didn't watch on CP3?
I watched you.
Mookie.
I watched you
roll like a
was that during Super Bowl? Was that during Super Bowl?
Show us 300 form, Mookie. Show us 300 form,
huh?
Was that a couple hours before the Super Bowl?
Yeah. This is a five step. What step? Left, right, left, right. You got to post it. And when you post it, it should strike.
Yeah. So that they had the ability to have those guys do whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
I thought I clicked on the wrong link when I watched that.
Yeah.
Right, because what did ESPN tweeted out like
the most hilarious thing you'll ever see.
Straight comedy. They're like, these guys are straight comedy.
Yeah, that's like the biggest Rick Riley.
Yeah.
You can, like, show him your golf swing.
I'll tell you what.
My kingdom to hit the links.
I'll tell you what. I feel good about the future of baseball with these big personalities.
I know. You just put that in a jar and market it.
Yeah. It's not even like you got to. It's not even like you had to coax this out of them, this humor.
No. They were just there and just said, hey, we're ready to go.
Naturally, let's bowl. Tennis.
Well, those were the ideas from the guys, the heads
golf swing
in the booth. Yeah.
They would have thought of something way better if they weren't coached.
Yeah,
that would have been more hilarious.
That was keeping them down.
I think those guys are master thespians and are very funny.
Mookie,
they're being held
down
by Ravitch.
Mookie, lay down and have Holt show you reverse cowgirl.
Now that would have been funny.
Yeah, they could have done that. Now, guys, Brokeback Mountain. All right. Okay, thank you, Scott. We will be back in just a moment, and Robert Kraft. This is so ridiculous at this point. I it's embarrassing. I mean, and I like Robert Kraft, but this is like embarrassing. We'll talk about that.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Tucker and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Remember way back in the days on my black friend.
Drop it like it's hot.
I give it what you got. I give it
rock spread juice like a box. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on pop.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Tudger and Rich. So there was a story yesterday that I believe the Globe said, if I'm mistaken, my bad, that Robert Kraft was going to have to appear in court for these misdemeanor charges of soliciting prostitution at a house of ill repute. And then it turned out that it's not true. He does not have to be there, as had been stated earlier in this whole process. Okay, there was a time, and I'm not comparing myself to Robert Kraft, even though we're fiscally in the same ballpark, but there was a time where I got a ticket for that I had to appear in court for Open Container, and I was talking about it on the air in Atlanta, and this lawyer said, listen, I'll just meet you at the courthouse, and we'll go in. And I went in with a lawyer, and it was all these guys like on traffic tickets, and the guy saw that I had a lawyer, went on up there, and he just started laughing and said, case dismissed.
Really?
Robert Kraft, yeah. I mean, he thought it was hysterical. He's like, why the hell would you bring a lawyer with you? It's like a $250 fine.
Just
like,
thrown out.
Yeah, he just laughed.
That's great.
Because he thought I paid the lady, and so he was just like...
Had no idea.
No. And so, don't you guys... I mean, Kraft has got essentially the O.J. Simpson dream team.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got one guy who got a person that should rot in hell off with 13 months in jail, who was trafficking underage girls. Then he's got a guy that worked with the Manafort team, and then he's got a guy that worked with Bush, right?
Yep, deputy counsel.
For a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
Like, what do you get out of this? And am I the only one who thinks this makes him look bad, that he looks like a rich bully that's going into a misdemeanor case that would be thrown out?
Looks like a guy who wants to make sure his record is clean, regardless of how it looks. That's what it looks like. And if you have the means to do it, he's doing it.
But it's almost like shoving money in people's faces that you get three. I would imagine that if you were looking at defense lawyers, these are, what, three of the top 100 guys or something like that? I don't know anything about it, fortunately. But to do that for a misdemeanor charge... It seems to me it's just a billionaire throwing money.
That's ancillary.
Just throwing money at it.
He doesn't care how it looks at this point. He doesn't care how it looks.
But that is all you should care about, because legally he's not really in any real
jeopardy. No, he's
jeopardy.
In no trouble legally. And who cares? The NFL is going to do what the NFL is going to do. And that wouldn't concern me at all. And again, we talked about this. I'd want to be at the banner raising fine. But other than that, What do I care? The NFL's not taking the team away from me.
Could this set him up for a defense against a suspension saying I was cleared of all charges? Suppose somehow he is cleared of all charges doesn't get off on a technicality.
Say he's cleared of all charges, and fine, then the NFL can...
Then he's got these lawyers. He's going to point them at the NFL and go, I don't deserve to be suspended.
Fine. But I wouldn't be concerned about being suspended by the NFL. I would be completely concerned about my way my image is looking. And the idea that you're saying... I'm innocent of a misdemeanor. I'm going to hire a dream team of lawyers to come in. By the way, like, I bet you there's 200 guys. I bet you 150 of them don't even bring a lawyer. That they just come in and they just say, I mean, for a misdemeanor.
Give me my slap on the wrist and I'll be on my way.
Yeah, I don't think that you get a defense attorney provided to you for misdemeanors. I would be very surprised if they used resources like that. I mean, it's. I understand getting a lawyer if you're rich. You get, and I understand getting a high price lawyer if you're rich.
But three of them?
But three guys that are like at the top of their profession for a misdemeanor?
Sure.
I mean, that's just.
No, if he cared at all about how it looks, he wouldn't have done this.
I mean, it's almost like nerdy. Like,
well,
dude, like at this point, like, dude, even if you did it and it's all alleged, I mean, what did you do? I mean, honestly. Like, who cares? And now you're going to lawyer up like this? It's ridiculous. It's like a total stand. It's like a nerd. All right, dude.
Well, part of me wonders too if, like, do you need this sort of legal power to prevent the video from getting out, right? In theory.
But the thing is that the video...
Well, we need one lawyer to do that. We need three.
But also the video could get out...
Well, so that's what I was just going to say. Legally, whether it's admissible in court or whatever, they can help with that. Are they going to help with it leaking to TMZ?
No, there's nothing they can do about it.
So, again, it would be
proven newsworthy, which would let TMZ off the hook no matter what, because then they would say the video was involved in a legal case, this is a public figure, and this is something that we believe is newsworthy. And then if Kraft sued TMZ, what's he going to get?
You can't take that back. The damage is done, regardless of if it's recalled or not.
And so you sue TMZ. I mean, you know, it's not a Hulk Hogan situation who sued Gawker and got all their money. I mean, that was a privately taped thing. This is part of a police. But I just heard about that legal team, and I'm, what are you doing? All right, Bert Breer is here. He is not involved in the Source fight.
I'm sure he's got an opinion on both these guys.
Get in there, Bert.
I'm sure Bert has his own spin on. He's got his own spin on the story. I bet you he knows.
All right, so we'll find out. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.